إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد, today, inshallah, in continuation of our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, we'll be reading the chapter on Lin al-Kalam liwalidayhi, Babu Lin al-Kalam liwalidayhi, the chapter about being soft and modest in our speech that we direct to our parents, being soft and modest, being calm, not raising our voices when we talk to the both of our parents. If we look at the approach of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this book, like his student Abu Ja'far al-Bukhari said to us, he's a person who doesn't do something except that there's a reason why he did it. The fourth chapter said it was picked from a verse of the Quran, wa wassayna al-insana biwalidayhi. The chapter that followed was explaining who are the walidayn. The first of them is al-um, and the second of them is al-ab. The fourth chapter that came after that is talking about the zulm. Birrul walidayhi wa in zalama babu birri walidayhi wa in zalama. This is the chapter that followed an explanation of the mother of the walidayn to be al-um and al-ab. But this chapter, birru walidayhi wa in zalama, which was the chapter that we read yesterday, it can be picked from a verse of the Quran that وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Because that the parents push and make efforts over the child to do something that Allah is displeased with, or that they outrightly in the matters of this dunya show some things that are unfair and unjust towards the child. This is from the aspects of bull. And this has been captured in that verse, وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. So that is the basic rule regarding the last chapter that we read yesterday, the chapter on بِرُّ وَالِدَيْهِ وَإِنْ ظَلَمَا, that even if they do, they carry out something, they push the person to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا, do not follow them. But even at that, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا, in other aspects of the matters of this dunya, the child is still enjoined to be kind to the parents and to be nice to them and to show them good conduct. Now, this chapter we are reading, Babu Lin al-Kalam liwalidayhi, the chapter about being soft at speech towards our parents, is also picked from another verse of the Quran, wherein Allah says, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. This is another verse of the Quran that regarding the parents, from where Al-Imam al-Bukhari has coined a chapter heading, Babu Lin al-Kalam liwalidayhi, Allahu A'lam. But you can see all of these verses have these chapter headings, have verses of the Quran that are connected to them. This is the kind of person that Al-Imam al-Bukhari has been in all his writings. He has great wisdom in the choice of his chapter headings. That's why, like I have been repeating, that ulama say that fiqh al-Bukhari, bi tarajimihi, you'll understand the fiqh, the legal rulings that Imam al-Bukhari derives or seeks to derive from the text that he cites from the chapter headings. The chapter headings tells you a lot about what's in the mind of Imam al-Bukhari when he was arranging these ahadiths. So after telling us about Bir Walidain, he told us who are the Walidain. After that, he told us وَإِنْجَا عَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. After that, he told us about فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Which explains these verses, the reason why I was not explaining. But this chapter that we are on is chapter on لِينِ الْكَلَامِ لِوَالِدَيْهِ. Chapter on being soft at speech, being cordial in our speech, being full of respect in our speech when we address our parents. And he says, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Musaddadun. Haddathana Musaddadun Qala. Haddathana Ismail Ibn Ibrahim. For those of us who have our text in Arabic, I think we can follow up the reading, inshallah. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said again, he said, حَدَّثَنَا مُسَدَّدُ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا إِسْمَعِيلُ إِبْنِ إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا زِيَادُ إِبْنُ مِخْرَاقُ قَالَ حَدَّثَنِي طَيْسَلَ إِبْنُ مَيَّاسُ قَالَ كُنْتُ مَعَ النَّجَدَاتِ فَأَصَبْتُ ذُنُوبًا لَا أَرَاهَا إِلَّا مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ ذكرت ذلك لابن عمر قال ما هي قلت كذا وكذا قال ليست هذه من الكبائر هن تسع الإشراك بالله وقتل نسمة والفرار من الزحف وقذف المحصنة وأكل الربا وأكل مال اليتيم وإلحاد في المسجد والذي يستسخر وبكاء الوالدين من العقوق. قال لي ابن عمر أتفرق من النار وتحب أن تدخل الجنة؟ قلت إي والله. قال أحي والدا؟ قلت عندي أمي. قال فوالله لو ألمت لها الكلام وأطعمتها الطعام لتدخلن الجنة ما اجتنبت الكبائر. This hadith was reported by Imam al-Bukhari from his Shaykh al-Imam Musaddad ibn Musarhad. That's his name. Musaddadun ibn Musarhadun. Let's take note of this because al-Imam Musaddad ibn Musarhad ibn Musarbal. That's his name. Musaddadun Ibn Musarhadin, Ibn Musarbalin. He's a very, very popular reporter of hadith. You see his hadith in the books of Sunan Abi Dawud, Sunan al-Tirmidhi. They profusely reported a hadith from Musaddad ibn Musarhad. Likewise, Al-Imam Musaddad was a student of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. He reported Masail Fiqhiyah from him. Fortunately, Al-Imam Musaddad ibn Musarhad was from amongst the first persons who also compiled a book of Musnad. He has a book, Musnadul Musaddad, and he reported Masail Fiqhiyah, questions and answers from Al-Imam Ahmad about issues of fiqh. That is a well-known issue, this matter of Kufru Tariq Salah, that the one who leaves the Salah, abandons the Salah out of laziness, to say that he's a kafir. Al-Imam Musaddad ibn Musarhad has a report from Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal regarding that matter. I wouldn't like to deviate into that, but the point here is Al-Imam Musaddad ibn Musarhad was a very well-known scholar amongst the scholars of hadith. He was a student of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and Al-Imam al-Bukhari took reports from him. Likewise, the scholars of the books of Sunnah, like Al-Imam Abu Dawood, and Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi and others, they reported ahadith from Musaddad ibn Musarhad. So we should be familiar with people like this because they are major scholars upon the path of Sunnah. So Al-Imam Musaddad ibn Musarhad ibn Mustarbal said, Haddathana Ismail ibn Ibrahim. Likewise, Al-Imam Ismail ibn Ibrahim, he was popularly called Ibn Ulayya. Ibn Ulayya, Al-Imam ibn Ismail ibn Ulayya, although he didn't like to be referred to as Ismail ibn Ulayya, because that would mean ascribing him to a woman, and that has a lot of implications in Islam. So he preferred to be called Ismail ibn Ibrahim. He was amongst the greatest scholars of fiqh and hadith also, rahimahullah. He became a qadi in his time, and he left the position of being a qadi, chief judge, in the region where he lived, rahimahullah. Ismail ibn Ibrahim. He said, Haddathana Ziyad ibn Mikhraq al-Muzani. Al-Imam Ziyad ibn Mikhraq al-Muzani was also a great scholar of hadith. He was the one who was reporting from Taysala ibn Mayyas. So this report is the report of Taysala ibn Mayyas. For those of us who don't have the books that have the Asanid, our reading will start from Taysala ibn Mayyas. He was the person who was prominent in this report. He was the one who was narrating the event. And the event that we shall read now, inshallah, has been reported from Faisala by Al-Imam Ziyad ibn Mikhraq. And it was reported from him by Al-Imam Ismail ibn Ibrahim ibn Ulayya. And it was reported from him by Al-Imam Musaddad ibn Musar Hadin ibn Musar Balin. And it was reported from him by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Ismail Ibrahim ibn al-Mughira al-Bukhari rahimahullah. This religion is balanced and straight. It's balanced, it is straight, and it is clear. So this is how we have gotten this report that we are reading today, inshallah. Faisala ibn Mayyas said, Kuntu ma'an najadat. I was a man who was with an-najadat. An-najadat, I will come back to it, inshallah. But let's have a reading and an interpretation of, inshallah, what's in the narration first. And then we come back to start picking the points of benefit in the hadith. Faisala ibn Mayyas said, Kuntu ma'an najadat. I was with an-najadat. The Najadat is one of the subgroups, subsects amongst the Khawarij. The Khawarij was a known deviant group since the history of Islam. They have remained, it's supposed to be the first deviation amongst Muslims. In terms of Aqidah, in terms of Manhaj, the first of the deviations that this Ummah witnessed was the deviation of the Khawarij, because some of their deviation started right in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the leaders of that sect were the ones who carried out that bold, unfortunately brazen approach to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was Hurqus ibn Suhayb. We'll come back to all of these, inshallah. So he said, Kuntu ma'an najadat. Faisala ibn Mayyas said he was a person who was with an najadat. The najadat were a subsect amongst the Khawarij. The Khawarij had about 20 sects under them. He said, Fa'asabtu dhunuban la araha illa min al-kabairi. And then I was committing some sins, la araha illa min al-kabairi. Those sins, he does not consider them to be from any other than major sins. He does not consider, or he did not consider those sins while he was with an-najadat. He did not consider them to be from any other thing except that they were major sins. Zakartu dhalika li ibn Umar. So he came back and met Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. Qala ma hiya. Abdullah ibn Umar asked him, "What? Tell me, what are those sins?" Kultu kaza wa kaza. And he started saying, "I committed so and so sin, he committed such and such sin." Qala laysat hadhihi al-kabair. The learned companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Umar, answered him and said, "Laysat hadhihi min al-kabair." these sins that you have committed are not from the major sins. They are not from the major destructive sins that we know in our religion, that we have learned from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so to speak. It lays as hadihi min al kabai. These sins you are talking about, they are not from the major sins. Hunna tis'un. The major sins are 9. Radiyallahu anhuma. Abdullah ibn Umar started and said, al-ishraku billah. The first of them is to join partners or joining partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. Wa qatlu nasama. The second one he mentioned was, an-nasama means the soul. So qatlu nasama is to take a soul, to commit the act of murder. May Allah protect us all. Qatlu nasama. The second major thing is to take a person's soul. Wal firaru min al-zahfi. The third one Ibn Umar mentioned to him is al firaru min al-zahfi, running away from the battlefield when the individual is in the army. They are to fight against the non-Muslims. The person runs away. May Allah protect us. Wa qadhful muhsana. The fourth one Abdullah ibn Umar mentioned to him is qadhful muhsana, falsely accusing chaste women of indecency or illicit sexual relations. When a person falsely accuses a woman who is decent, a woman who is innocent, you falsely accuse her of illicit sexual relations. This is called qadhful muhsana. It's a major sin in Islam, and it was the fourth thing that Abdullah ibn Umar mentioned to Faisala ibn Umayyas. The fifth thing he mentioned to him is aklu riba, consuming riba, eating riba, interest, usury, consuming riba. Ulama say they say aklu riba because what finally ends riba is consumption. Otherwise, merely taking riba itself is prohibited in Islam. Wa aklu mali liyatim. Likewise, the sixth one is eating up, consuming the wealth of an orphan. Someone dies, his father dies, a man's father dies, while that person was still a young person who had not reached a maturity. He had not reached the age of legal responsibility, and the father dies. So the wealth was left behind to an uncle, to a grandfather, to a relative who should take care of the estate until this young boy or young girl grows up, and then the property is handed over back to him or her. This person eats up the property or lavishes the property, spends the property improperly. May Allah protect us. It's a major sin in Islam. Wa ilhadun fil masjid. Ilhad is diverting the masjid for activities that are away from what the masjid should be used for. So that was why it said al-ilhad fil masjid. The major thing the masjid should be used for is for worship, salah, and all of this. And then people now divert it, bring issues of shirk, issues of innovations, and all of these into the masjid. It is from the aspects of al-ilhad fil masjid. So this is from among the major sins, as we have heard it from the mouth of Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, the eminent and the learned companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The eighth thing he counted was wallazi yastaskhiru, the one as is here, yastaskhiru, the one who makes a jest of the people, the one who mocks people, mocking the rest of the people. Although there are issues regarding this word in itself. In some of the copies of Al-Adab al-Mufrad, you find it as yastashir, that is the one who seeks sihir, the one who goes about looking for sihir, sorcery and magic, the one who goes about looking for the means of getting involved in sorcery and magic, or getting involved with sorcery and magic. But here it is as yes, tazkhiru. But the second reading appears to be stronger, Allahu A'lam, because if you go back to the books where the tabayil have been mentioned, you see that sihir is usually mentioned along with these ones. So perhaps Allahu A'lam, some of the nusakh of Al-Adab al-Mufrad had yes tazkhiru, some has yes tazkhiru. The difference is the dot on at the top of the harf ha'un. So yes tazkhiru or yes tazkhiru in either of them. Even though we take it to mean yes tazkhiru, the one who goes about looking for sorcery and magic, it does not mean that making jest to the people is a minor thing, because Allah told us about the evil of mocking the rest of the people in Surah 2. Al-Mujadala, Hujrat, the Quran. The other, the ninth one is Buka'ul Walidayn min al-Uquq. Buka'ul Walidayn min al-Uquq. The ninth thing is Umar counted to Faisal ibn Umayyas as from the major sins. It's what Buka'ul Walidayn min al-Uquq. That the parents, our parents begin to weep as a result of our indecent dealings towards them. A child will abuse his father, and then the father begins to cry. A child will insult the mother, and then she begins to cry. This is from the aspects of uququl walid, disobedience, and not being kind, and evil treatment to parents. The child will insult, speak evil, or act evil to the parents. And then the parents begin to shed tears, tears of pain out of the evil dealings that the child directs towards these parents. Allah protect us from this. This is the ninth thing from amongst the major sins that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu counted to Faisal ibn Umayyas. Faisal said, Qala li ibn Umar, Ibn Umar said to me, Atafraku min an-nar wa tuhibbu an tadkhul al-jannah. Because it appeared that the sins that Faisal had been involved, even though they were not from these major sins, perhaps, it appeared that the matter was huge in his mind. All he wanted was, how am I going to be saved from the sins that I have been involved? How am I going to be liberated from my sinful life of the past that I had lived? So Abdullah ibn Umar wanted to give him a way out, just like Abdullah ibn Abbas also did to the one who had committed murder and approached him. We are coming back to all of this to pick the major lessons in this. The scholars are the guides for the people. When a matter, especially of the deen, is heavy in your mind, go and meet a learned person. Bi-Ibnillah, he will guide you out of it. One of the scholars said it was from the tawfiq of Allah, yarhamukallah, upon an individual that he has a learned person that he can approach in the matters of the deen. It is from Allah's tawfiq for an individual to find someone who is learned upon the sunnah he can approach when he gets into problems in his religion. May Allah protect all of us. Qala li ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar wanted to relieve the difficulty, the burdens in the minds of Faisala, and tell him how to find his way out of the sinful life into a life of goodness. He said, do you want to atafraku min an-nar? Are you scared? Are you avoiding? Are you concerned that you do not become from among the people of the fire? وَتُحِبُّ أَن تَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ And you desire to be from among the people of the paradise? قُلْتُ إِي وَاللَّهِ Faisala, who was reporting the hadith, said, Wallahi, yes, I swear by Allah, yes, that's all I want. All I'm concerned is I don't want to be in the fire and I want to be in al-Jannah. That's my concern. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, Ahayyun walidak? Look at the first way. And this is the point of reference. Ahayyun walidak? Are the two of your parents alive? Is your father alive? Is your mother alive? He wants to tell him one simple thing he will do by which he will run away from the fire, and then by Allah's mercy he will end al-Jannah. So he asked him, Ahayyun walidak? Are your parents, your father and your mother, are they both alive? Qultu indi ummi Faisal ibn Umayyas. answered Abdullah ibn Umar and said, I still have my mother. My father perhaps had passed away, but I still have my mother with me. Qala fa wallahi. Abdullah ibn Umar said, I swear by Allah. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. Because Abdullah ibn Umar was also a dutiful child to his father Umar. So you see the connection. He was, Abdullah ibn Umar was very, very dutiful to his father Umar. And I have always cited the example of how he divorced his wife as a major example of a child's dutifulness to the parent. We'll come back to that if Allah wills. The way it went showed that he was very, very dutiful to his father Umar radiallahu anhu. Radiallahu anhu. So Abdullah ibn Umar said to him, Fa wallahi, I swear by Allah, لو ألنت لها الكلام, if your speech towards your mother who is remaining with you, who is alive with you, لو ألنت لها الكلام, if you make your speech towards her to be lean, this is the point of reference in the hadith, لين الكلام, لو ألنت لها الكلام, if you were to be soft, if you were to be calm, if you were to be nice, if you are to be very, very mannerly in your speech that you direct to your mother, وَأَطْعَمْتَهَا الطَّعَامِ, and you provide her food. One of the scholars said, أَطْعَمْتَهَا الطَّعَامِ is that you cook the food and present it to her. But if you cannot provide her a food from yourself on your hand that you cook and then bring it to her, you can provide a means for her to have food from you. The end of the provision of the food will come back to you. If you can be nice in your speech to your mother, and then you can cook food and provide her food to eat, لَتَدْخُلَنَّ الْجَنَّةَ مَجْتَنَبْتَ الْكَبَائِرِ, you will enter, certainly Allah will provide you entrance into Al-Jannah as long as you avoid, you run away from the major sins. As long as you run away from the major sins. Because if someone does good deeds to the parents, is kind towards the parents, he becomes involved in shirk. He becomes involved in as-sihr, magic and sorcery. He becomes involved in all of these. The weight of these evil deeds will overrun him if he's not careful. So the individual has to be a person who avoids the major sins and concentrates on these. If he does this, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, لَتَدْخُلَنَّ الْجَنَّةَ مَجْتَنَبْتَ الْكَبَائِرِ, you will enter Al-Jannah. لَتَدْخُلَنَّ, you can see the tawkid, it's لَامُ التَّوْكِيدِ, it's نون التَّوْكِيدِ الثَّقِيلَ, لَتَدْخُلَنَّ الْجَنَّةَ مَجْتَنَبْتَ الْكَبَائِرِ, you will certainly enter Al-Jannah as long as you avoid the major sins. This is the general explanation of the hadith that we are reading today. And we can see that the point of reference is that Abdullah ibn Umar advised Faisala that لو ألنت لها الكلام, if you could be calm, if you could be soft, if you could be mannerly with your mother that is alive, وَأَطْعَمْتَهَا الطَّعَامِ, and you provide her food, لَتَدْخُلَنَّ الْجَنَّةَ مَجْتَنَبْتَ الْكَبَائِرِ, you will certainly earn Al-Jannah as long as you avoid the major sins. This will come back to that verse of the Quran that فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ, don't tell your parents off, وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا, don't make negative statements to them, وَقُلْ لَهُمَا, Allah commands us, the only thing that must come out from you to your parents is قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا, noble, humble speech, noble, humble language are the things that must come out from you to your parents. Now, let's begin to quickly read this hadith and pick a few points of benefit that the time we have will permit us, inshallah. Faisal ibn Umayyah said, Kuntuma Najdat. Najdat, like we mentioned, is one of the subsects of the Khawarij. They are one of the subsects of the Khawarij. Khawarij has about 20 sects amongst them. We can go back to Al Farq bayn al Firq by Imam Abdullah Abdul Qahir al-Baghdadi. He's a 4th century scholar of Islam who wrote about the various sects that emerge, how they emerge, their evolution, their major aqidah. And the Khawarij are a sect that the 20 of them, they are bounded by three things. The 20 groups that we find under them, they are bounded by three things. Three major things occur in the various creed of each of these sects amongst the Khawarij. The first of them is Takfirul Kabari, At-Takfiru Bil Kabari. They make kufur, they declare as kafir anyone who committed a major sin. If you committed a major sin, they declare the person a kafir, and they believe that the person will be in the fire forever, he will not come out. Al-Khulud Finar. If he dies upon a major sin, Allah will not forgive him. He will be in the fire forever. This is the Aqidah of Khawarij. About the 20 specs are agreed upon this. The other thing they are agreed about is takfir of Sahaba. They make takfir of some of the companions, like Uthman ibn Affan. The Khawarij make takfir of Uthman ibn Affan. They make takfir of Ali ibn Abi Talib and others amongst the companions. This is why those groups, let me mention the third thing. The third thing about the Khawarij that is common in all their groups is that they revolt against a Sultan al-Jahili. They revolt against any ruler who is not mustaqim of Andi. If a ruler is found, according to their judgment, to be Jair, to be not firm upon the jinn, upon the religion, they revolted against him. Once they think that the ruler is not fair upon being a ruler, they revolted against him. Once they think like that, anybody can fall a victim of this, they are thinking. Even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their leader, one of their leaders, one of their major leaders, Hurqus ibn Zuhayr, protested against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the booties of war were distributed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, Ya Muhammad, ittaqillah. Oh Muhammad, fear Allah in this distribution. And you see that because in his thinking, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not fair. So the Prophet said, if I do not fear Allah, who will fear Allah? If I, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does not fear Allah, who will fear Allah? This will make us understand that the Khawarij, when they say from their Aqidah, is that they rise and revolt against constituted authority. Anybody they find in their thinking, oh, one way or the other, it was not balanced. According to their scales, they rise upon it. So that was why Hurqus ibn Zuhayr rose against him. And the Prophet made a statement to make us understand that these people will still come out as a major entity in the Ummah of Islam. So that's why you find the affiliates of the Khawarij themselves, wherever you find them. We have them in Nigeria, the affiliates of the Khawarij. The affiliates of Khawarij, and many of the scholars in our time say that groups like Al-Ikhwan, they are affiliates, they have these aqidah amongst them. That's why you see that most of their books, you find them speaking negatively about the likes of Uthman ibn Affan, the leaders of these groups. You find them speaking negatively about Uthman ibn Affan. You find them rising up, and the beginning of the uprisings, the beginning of revolts, are protests. Protests and demonstrations against constituted authority are the beginning. It is the muqaddima to actual revolts against constituted authority. That's why the scholars of Sunnah go against these things, and they go against the people who vanguard and spearhead, pioneer these kinds of things, revolting against constituted authority. And we know here in Nigeria where this revolt and insurgence against constituted authority has taken us. We know how many lives have been lost in Nigeria from insurgents. This is the beginning of these kinds of revolts among Muslims. When you find a person who is affiliated to these kinds of people, if he has not started revolt against government, constituted authority, and all of this, he is waiting for the time to do so. Because it is from their asali, it's from their methodologies. So, an Najdat
was one of the firak. We could go on and on, but we don't have the time. And Najdat was one of the firak amongst the Khawarij, and they had those beliefs too. So when Faisala was amongst them, he had those beliefs too, that like making major sins as from the acts of kufur that makes a person be in the fire forever. So he thought that the sins that he had committed were major sins that could make him be in the fire forever. This was his problem. So he thought even the minor sins, he would think that they are major sins. And the major sins, they would think that they are from the acts of kufur. His mind was unsettled, even though he, at the time that he was asking Abdullah ibn Umar, he does not appear to still be amongst them. But he had been amongst them, and he had been influenced by these ideas. This is why the scholars of Sunnah warn against being in the company of the people of deviations. Because if you are not careful, your mind will deviate along with their deviations. May Allah protect us. This is also affecting a lot of us. Many of our brothers and sisters, you find them reading books of their verse. How can someone who built her life upon the false cities in Mill Sambon's novels live a good family life, even if she wears niqab and wears jilbab? How can she live a good family? Because those false, those fictions, those fictitious life, and whom did you? They are all false. So you live your life thinking that, or you grew up upon home videos and Mills and Bones stories. How do you think you can live a good family life? So you need to detoxify your mind. This was the kind of thing that Faisala was doing. And the way to do that is to learn Al-Aqidah to Sahihah and then read a lot about the early Muslims, the companions and their students and how they live. This will help detoxify your mind from the toxicity that it will suffer because of your companionship with the evil people or because of reading books of evil. A person who becomes involved in living a life of home videos, the people who even do home videos, in their real life, they have not been successful. They have not lived a successful marital life. How then you copy their false lives in their home videos and think that you can live a successful life? It's a mirage. May Allah protect us all. Faisala was influenced by an Najdat, and he thought that those minor sins were major sins, and because of that, they could make him live in the hell forever. So he came to Abdullah ibn Umar. It's a major point of benefit of approaching scholars when we have issues. Approach the ulama when you have issues. Try to always identify. We all must do it because we need them at one point in time on our life. Look for a person of knowledge to describe the matter to. I'm in this trouble. How do I get out of the trouble? One of the scholars says, when a servant reaches this stage in his life, Allah, he should know that Allah has granted him the tawfiq, guidance. Let me look for a person of sunnah. When I explain, inshallah, I will get a solution to the problem. Go check your areas. Look for people who are learned upon the sunnah and make sure that they are the ones that you approach when matters arise. May Allah protect us all. So he narrated the incidents to Abdullah ibn Umar, and Abdullah ibn Umar said, what are those sins? And Faisala ibn Umar gave those sins, narrated those sins he had committed to Abdullah ibn Umar, but those sins were not mentioned. This is from the adab of Islam. We do not mention our popularized sins. It was deliberately omitted in the riwayat. Umar, Ibn Umar heard them, but those who reported from him cut it off. They will stop reporting it. Because from the aspects of Fahisha itself, it's natural Fahisha. We'll come back to it in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. From the ways of popularizing evil, is talking about evil. So you see when they say, oh, there was a rape case somewhere, and then it comes in the newspaper, you start hearing it. When they say, oh, someone jumped into the lagoon in Lagos, you start hearing it. Another person does it. Another person does it. Another person does it. So popularizing evil spreads the evil. Unfortunately, when the punishment, appropriate punishment, is not heard to have been meted to those who committed those evil, it agitates the people to commit more evil. If you heard that someone commits an evil, when Maka once, when we heard that, a man who was from amongst the Khawarij killed his father. He's suffering from the Aqidah of the Khawarij. He killed his, I think, his uncle or his father. In Riyadh, it was announced. We were still in Makkah when we heard that he has been beheaded. So if you must announce any indecency and make it become public, we must also hear how did it end. So that anyone who wants to do that must know how he will end too. But if you only announce rape, you announce murder, you announce kidnap, you announce all of these, and then the appropriate punishment are not heard to have been meted, then the evils will begin to progress and spread. May Allah protect all of us. So this was what happened. Why the same was not mentioned. He only said kaza wa kaza. Qala laysat hadhihi min al-kaba'ir. Abdullah ibn Umar quickly retorted and said, these things you are mentioning, they are not from the kaba'ir. Hunna tis'un. The kaba'ir are 9 in number. The ulama are divided about the number of the kaba'ir. But Abdullah ibn Umar tells us that the kaba'ir are 9. Umar, some amongst the ulama say, what Abdullah ibn Umar is saying, that there are 9 times. There are 9 times that all the rest of them will fall under this 9. Because the kaba'ir, they are the sins that Allah or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or by the consensus of the scholars of Islam, is mentioned to be from the kaba'ir. Or that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned it, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the sin, he mentioned it, la'na, like those who make add hairs to the hair, those who wear wigs and all of these. When they were mentioned with la'na. Likewise, women who wear perfume, when they were mentioned with la'na. It makes us understand that a woman wears perfume when she comes out, it's a major sin. The curse of Allah is upon her. These kinds of expressions make us identify major sins. And you see that it is not from these 9 major sins that Ibn Umar had mentioned. The third thing with which we understand la'na is al-wa'id al-shadeed. A major punishment will be mentioned regarding anybody who does this will suffer so much. The fourth thing with which we recognize major sins is the hadd. When a person does it, his hand should be cut. No, that's major. So when a person does it, he should be stoned to death. Oh, this is a major sin. So these four things are the key points to recognize the major sins. So the major sins are not restricted to these 9. But you see, any of the major sins will somehow be connected to these 9. So the ulama said that was why Abdullah ibn Umar mentioned the 9. They are the 9 major ones under which all others will collapse. Was why he said so. Rahimahullah. Radiallahu anhu. The first one is al-ishraku billah, joining partners with Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second one is qatlu nasama. Qatlu nasama. Taking a life. Wala taqtulu nasa allati haramallah. Allah has prohibited us from taking lives that he himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, holds in sanctity. وَالْفِرَارُ مِنَ الزَّحْفِ, that a person runs away from the battlefield. That occurs in Surah Al-Anfal. يَا أَيُّوَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا لَكِتُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا زَحْفًا فَلَا تُوَلُّوهُمُ الْأَدْبَارُ. When you meet the non-Muslims on the battlefield, make sure you don't run away. Those who used to run away in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were the munafiqun. Allah told us about that in Surah Al-Ahzab. The third thing he mentioned is qadhful muhsana. The fourth thing he mentioned is qadhful muhsana, falsely accusing a chaste woman, whether a young virgin girl who had never been married, you falsely accuse her of illicit sexual intercourse, or a woman who is actually married under her husband, you falsely say evil about her. For it not to be qadhf, you have to provide 4 witnesses. For it not to be qadhf, you have to provide 4 witnesses, or it has to be by confession. And the person has to be known in the circumstance of confession, not to be under a drug, not to be under any influence while confessing. These are the 2 means of knowing that the person actually did evil. But other than that, for a girl who walks on the street and says, oh, she's like this, you are guilty of al-qasfu. May Allah protect us. Wa'aklu riba. Likewise, riba is common now in different forms. People take riba in different forms. May Allah protect us. And we know what Allah mentioned regarding riba in the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah. وَأَقْلُوا مَالِ الْيَتِيمِ, taking, consuming the wealth of an orphan. We describe who an orphan is. Of course, when a person becomes matured, he's no more an orphan.
I read some brothers and sisters on their posts when they write things and when they send messages, they say they are orphans because they don't have father or mother. This is not the meaning of being an orphan in the Sharia of Islam, because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that la yutmata ba'da al-bulugh, there is no being an orphan after you had already become you have already become mature. So there is no orphanage after maturity, and this hadith is sahih. So don't say you're an orphan when you're already a person of 20, 25 years old, your father and mother are not, no more alive, you come back and say you are. The orphanage is for those who are still below maturity. Wa ilhadun fil masjid. People now use the masjid for things that are against the foundational reason for which the masajids are built. You know, such as playing music in the masjid in the name of Islamic music. There is no Islamic music. Music is music, and it is haram in Islam. It cannot be Islamic, even if you do it in the masjid. But when you do it in the masjid, that is ilhadun fil masjid, using the masjid for purposes for which the masjid has not been built. Wallazi yastafkhiru, we discussed this a little bit, mocking the rest of the people. La yaskharu qawmun min qawmin, ataa yakunu khayran min. Allah prohibited us to know. A group of people should not mock the other group. Perhaps those people you mock are better than you. وَبُكَاءُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ مِنَ الْعُقُوكِ. And that the parents now cry out of bad dealings. A boy, a girl will deal badly with the parents and then they begin to cry. These are major sins. We have to know them, watch them, and avoid them. May Allah protect all of us. Qal Ali ibn Umar, after telling him what the major sins are, look at the learned person guiding this man. This should make us understand that the basic concern of the learned person is to guide those who come to guide him. And the guidance is from employing the Quran and the Sunnah to solve the problems of the person who has come to you. Some of the people, we've heard this and we've seen it, in trying to suit the persons who come to them, they want to bend the rulings of the Sharia. Someone comes to you and says, look, I told my son to kneel down and greet me. He does not kneel down to greet him. You say, okay, we can kneel down in Islam now. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he had his father and mother and his brothers kneeling down to him. This is not guidance. This is misguidance. Because what you are doing is against the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should watch things like this. When you guide the people, make sure you are not going out of the Quran and the Sunnah in your guidance. And then it's a matter of worship. We shall come back to it in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا اسْتَنْصَحَكَ أَخُوكَ فَانْصَحْ لَهُ. When your brother seeks sincere counsel from you, be sure that you are giving him sincere advice. He's asking for sincere advice, so you must give him sincere advice, not just what you think will suit him so that he holds you in high esteem. This will bring disgrace to you at the end of the day. May Allah protect us all. So Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said to this man, Atafraku minanar, are you a person who is concerned about getting into the fire? You are afraid. You don't want al-jahannam. وَتُحِبُّ أَن تَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ. And you desire to be from amongst the people of al-jannah. Qultu'i wallahi. This man apparently is still in his worries. Wallahi, that's all my concern. My concern is that I don't want to be someone who is born in the fire. That's all. And I want Allah to place me in al-jannah. Even though in his past, he had been negatively influenced by companionship. He had been negatively influenced by the people he had been with. Now, all he wants is to be saved from the fire of Jahannam and that he enters the paradise in the hereafter. Qala ahayyun walidak. Abdullah ibn Umar asked him, are the both of your parents alive? Qultu indi ummi. He said, I have my mother. And this is the point of reference in this hadith. Qala fa wallahi. Abdullah ibn Umar said, wallahi. So if a person is answering a question, you ask him one day, and he says, wallahi, that is the correct thing. Don't think that, why are you swearing? Did I ask you to swear? Did I ask you to make an oath with Allah? So we know that sometimes
the person answering a question can say, Wallahi, that is the truth. Wallahi, this question is, Wallahi, this answer is, Wallahi, it's permissible in Islam, even though he has not been asked to swear. He says, Law alanta lahal kalama, Law alanta lahal kalam, if you become soft in your speech towards your mother, wa'at'amtaha ta'am, and you provide her food. Soft speech and food. Food, providing food to the people is a big act of worship that many of the Muslims don't do today. We'll come back to it in this book, Allah the Book of Quran. Providing food to the people. Give people food to eat. How about your mother and your father? When we were younger than this, I remember our own mothers, when they visited their mothers, they cooked food. When you ask, why are you cooking food? They, I did not go to cook. They say, no, I want my mother to eat my food that I have cooked. For how, when last did we cook it? And then bring food to our parents. Many of our sisters these days can't even cook for their husbands to eat because they are busy. They are busy with their businesses. They are busy with their stores. They are busy with their WhatsApp business transactions. Many of them don't. For those who cook, may Allah make it easy and accept it as an act of worship. Those who are not used to cooking inside their house, please cook for your husbands to eat. Cook for your children to eat. Cook and take food to your parents to eat. We have seen now that it is from the major ways of being nice to our parents. لَقَدْ خُلَنَّ الْجَنَّةَ مَجْتَنَفْتَ الْكَبَائِرِ. When you speak nicely and softly with full manners and esteem, respect for your parents, and you cook food and provide them food, by the mercy of Allah, you will enter Al-Jannah as long as you avoid these major sins. The point of reference in this hadith is speaking softly to our parents. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ. Don't express negative comments and statements and direct them to your parents. وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Don't make a statement that will demean them to them. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. When you speak with your parents or to your parents, make sure that your statement is noble. I would have quickly loved that we read the next hadith, but I think it's sufficient that we stop here today. The next hadith is not so lengthy. We'll read it in the next class, inshallah, and come back to the next bab. But I think it will be sufficient for us to stop with this hadith of Faisala Ibn Umayyah today. May Allah make the lessons more beneficial to us. May Allah make us understand it better than it has been explained. We have about 8 minutes and we can take a few questions within this time. Assalamu alaikum. Now, bismillah, questions.
Now, can you hear me, sir?
Now I can hear you, inshallah.
The first question with me here is asking about disasters, hadith we read yesterday. He said the hadith was talking about Muslim parents. Does it include non-Muslim parents? And what is our right for a non-Muslim parent when they pass away on their burial?
We will come back to that in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. There's an entire chapter wherein Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah told us how to relate with parents who are non-Muslims. You can check it, the 13th chapter, Babu Birri al-Walid al-Mushriki, the chapter regarding the parent who is a mushrik. There are a number of ahadith there. We'll come back to that, inshallah, when we get there.
The other question here is about strike action. Somebody is asking, is strike action part of reporting against the constituted authority?
Action, standing. Naam, alaikum assalam. Aba Yusuf, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Naam, the strike action is part of it because they are from the ways of publicly rejecting and revolting against constituted authority. Those who had written extensively about protests and demonstrations, even general resource on the net will tell you that sit-ins are part of the ways of rejecting the policies of existing government. And Islam has told us not to do so.
It has told us to be patient even when they take our rights. The Prophet Muhammad said so, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Regarding the Abu Imara, a number of ahadith on it that will make us understand this better. Sahih Muslim Kitab al Imara, the book on rulership or leadership in Sahih Muslim. Go back and start reading these ahadith one after the other. Every form of revolting and rejecting publicly, showing public rejection against constituted authorities prohibited in Islam. And that is by the consensus of the scholars of Islam. Those who did it in the past were berated by the companions, radiallahu anhu. I think there's a book in which this was widely researched and documented. I think I have a book on that, Protests and Demonstrations in Islam, the Islamic rulings on protests and demonstrations. I tried to combine all of these and put them together in a book for us to read. The issues that have been raised by the proponents of protests and demonstrations were also addressed in it. Those who protest, someone may be protesting and is not from amongst the Kharijiyya. Let me say this. He's just doing it ignorantly. He does not know the ruling of Islam on it. He does not know what does Islam say. How has protest and revolution evolved amongst Muslims? He does not know. The first person who did it, like we mentioned, was Hurqus ibn Zuhair, Zu Sudayya. He was one who protested against the Prophet on how the Prophet did something public interest, followed that where himself and his followers, when they had a sit-in in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the khilaf of Uthman ibn Affan, they laid siege in the Prophet's masjid. They blocked Uthman ibn Affan from coming out of his house to lead the salah. He was a khalifa at the time. They prevented Uthman ibn Affan from drinking from the well from which he paid. We remember when the Muslims migrated to Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them to buy the well from the Jew. They bought the well. Uthman ibn Affan paid for that well, radiyallahu anhu. And when he paid for the well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma yadurru ibn Affan ma yaf'aluhu ba'd al-yawm." Whatever Ibn Affan did after today will not affect him. The same well, the people prevented Uthman ibn Affan from drinking from the well. One of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Maymuna, she was on a donkey carrying water into the apartment of Uthman ibn Affan. These people who protested during the time of Uthman ibn Affan, they slapped the donkey and turned it away while the wife of the Prophet Maymuna radiallahu anha was on top of the donkey. These are protests. This is sitting. It's a sitting. It's a siege they laid for a number of days, not less than 20 days. These people and their cronies were the ones leading Salah in the Prophet's masjid, companions in the city of Medina. So these are the protests. These are the history. This is the history of protests in the history of Islam. And it has brought a lot of evil. And Uthman ibn Affan had warned us, radiyallahu anhu. He said, if you kill me, you will not pray together in one single masjid again. They killed Uthman Affan, they cut off his head. The protest of Uthman Affan, radiyallahu anhu, that the malaika are shy of Uthman Affan. Why should I not be shy of someone that the malaika are shy of? The Khawarij came and killed him. The beginning of all of these is protest. And what will agitate the protest that they will put in front is that there is indecency. There is, the rulership is not ruling. It's not dividing the public property as is appropriate. The same thing that Abdullah ibn Umar said to them, that you people are accusing Uthman now that he's not distributing public property appropriately. If it were you and to your family that he gave this goodness to, you would not accuse him. So that's why ulama also say the basis, what is usually at the background of these people talking about protests, talking about insurgency, talking about revolt against public constituted authority, is that they want a share of the public funds. Once they settle, that's all.
We've seen a lot of this. We see people who go on the mimbar to accuse governors, to accuse ministers and abuse them. Once they give them hajj seats, send a bag of rice and a ram and a bottle of groundnut oil to their houses for salah, it ends the entire matter. They say, at least we are benefiting from the government. So you see, it's usually about material benefits that they put under the interest of the religion. When the people commit great evils, you would not see them come out to say, no, this is wrong, and preach against it and educate the people. No, it is when it has to do with some sort of distribution of funds, material benefit, they say, no, he's not a ruler, he's not pious, he's not just, he's not fair in his doing, so we have to rise against him. So they rise against constituted authority, violate all the injunctions, all the prohibitions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam has given about this. This is the reason why all those who have this as the basic akidah that pushes them upon the manhaj of their da'wah should be avoided. Whether these people are affiliated to them directly or they are affiliated to them in their thinking, in their akidah, in their approach, it doesn't matter. The fact is that they are upon the same thing and they all should be avoided. I think it will be sufficient for us to stop here today. Bismillah, will continue in the next week. For these classes. A brother is asking here, let me quickly say this. A brother is asking here, how can we get a copy of the recorded lectures? I think the brothers who are organizing this, they have a platform where they send these, a WhatsApp platform where they send these recorded audios of these classes. I'm sure they will provide, Abu Yusuf should provide us how the brothers, the WhatsApp numbers so that they can add up, and then they will be getting the recorded classes of these series from Al-Adab al-Mufrad, inshallah, from those avenues. May Allah bless it all and forgive all our shortcomings. May Allah rectify the Ummah of Muhammad and make us firm upon the Sunnah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.